Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, today we're going to talk about diabetes, and I'm anxious to learn a lot. I know we see a lot of patients coming through our doors that have diabetes. So we're going to talk about managing diabetes naturally. And let's first maybe define it. And I know there's type 1 and type 2. So Dr. Prather, what is diabetes?
Diabetes is basically where we have an unregulated amount of glucose in the system. It causes a tremendous amount of damage to the body. The body actually has several different ways that diabetes can actually become a major problem. First off, you need insulin as your transport, and if you have damage to your ability to make insulin, then the glucose actually becomes too high. And when glucose becomes too high, it actually starts to damage a lot of tissue. You have kidney damage, you can have heart damage, you can have brain damage. It's something that the body just does not do well with. Quite a few physiological things that actually start to occur. You can also have a situation where the cells are not able to transport or accept the glucose in. So there's those two different types of ways that that actually occurs. So glucose actually becoming high is a major issue for the health of the body and something that needs to be addressed and gotten under control.
You know, when I just think of diabetes, now is it called diabetes mellitus?
Yeah, there's actually several different kinds. There's diabetes mellitus, and then there's diabetes insipidus, which is a different type.
But
diabetes mellitus, yeah.
Is what we're talking about
today. What we're talking about. Diabetes insipidus is kind of a rare type of thing kicked off by the pituitary.
Okay. So how do you find out what your glucose levels are? Is that through blood test?
That's through a blood test.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that we actually do as part of that of our screening, but even as you start to get into the diabetes, once it becomes full-blown, it's very easy to pick up. But it's also very important to actually pick that up beforehand.
Right, and that's what we want to talk about. That's what we're all about, is
sure.
The prevention part. So why is diabetes such a big problem?
Well, there's actually three different types of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
There's the type 1 diabetes, which is the juvenile onset, and that's where you actually have damage to the islets of Langerhans. It's an autoimmune reaction where the body actually destroys the cells in that area, which is insulin dependent.
Mm-hmm.
You have type 2 diabetes, and that's the one that's actually taking off and becoming such a major problem for everyone. And that's not a insulin dependent diabetes, but one basically where the body's no longer able to handle the sugar, get it transported across. And that's a lifestyle and a nutritional type of problem. And our lifestyle is actually getting worse. Our diet's getting worse. We have a lack of exercise and an increase in obesity. And all those different types of things are the things that actually contribute to the type 2 diabetes. And that's the major one that's actually hitting people at this point and becoming such a major problem for people. Americans are getting fatter.
Mm-hmm.
We're eating worse. We're not eating the kinds of foods that actually help us to maintain our health. Our nutrition is getting worse. And with all those combinations, we have a major increase in type 2 diabetes that we haven't seen before.
And you're saying, you know, that's controlled through lifestyle nutrition. So we can control that.
Yes.
We can prevent type 2 diabetes.
We can actually prevent the type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things that it's a lifestyle type of decision and something that you don't have to live with and shouldn't ever develop.
Yeah. And I want to make sure people understand that, because some people come in and say, well, I have type 2 diabetes and don't realize that can be taken care of.
That can be taken care of.
So what's the third one?
Gestational diabetes.
Okay.
And that's basically an imbalance in the physiology for women. One of the things that's very important is to make sure that they have a proper protein. If you, again, handle the nutritional part, I've had a lot of women who had three pregnancies, was on their fourth one, had gestational diabetes with each one, handled it with the proper nutrition, made sure that things were done properly, and they never had it on the fourth pregnancy. And also we've had women who were having gestational diabetes and again handled it nutritionally, and that took care of it too. So
that's kind of a temporary, is that temporary?
It's usually a temporary type of diabetic situation, but can be very damaging both to the mother and to the fetus. So something that needs to be controlled. But the majority of people that you know, we deal with in here are type 2 diabetics, and that is the majority of people out there who have diabetes.
Okay. Well, how many people in the United States have diabetes?
It's about 6.5% of everyone has, of all Americans have diabetes. An interesting thing is about 50% of those people aren't diagnosed.
Oh, wow. 50%?
So there's absolutely quite a few people who are walking around with type 2 diabetes that have no idea that they actually have it.
And why is that? They just haven't gotten the blood test?
It's just a matter of not getting their annual physicals. You know, not having a thorough type of check. You know, it's a lack of maintenance on the American part. We're very good at taking care of our cars. We have our annual inspections for our air conditioners. But we don't...
We're on a maintenance plan with our... Yeah.
Yeah, we don't take care of our health as we should.
Yeah. So. That's so important. Yeah, I go to the auto shop, and they have a whole diagnostic thing. It's very impressive, you know?
It is. It is.
But we shouldn't be taking care of we shouldn't be taking care of our cars better than our own bodies.
Yes, and we don't. You know, people don't do the maintenance work. There's blood tests that you should have done. That's recommended by the top physiologists in the world. That's what we do here, make sure that that's done at least on an annually basis, and you can actually avoid a lot of the problems that actually occur by keeping up on your lab tests and making sure that your health and well-being is up to par.
Yeah, so important, and you know, it's get all those screenings that you need. Well, what are some of the symptoms of diabetes?
Well, diabetes, one of the big things is a thirst.
I've heard
You get thirstier. There's actually a fatigue that is unexplained. There can actually be some unexplained weight gain. There can be some wound healing. In other words, you can actually, there's problems with actually healing up on the wounds. There are changes in the urine that can occur, more frequent urination. But some of them can be kind of subtle, and there can be other explanations for those things. But, you know, in other words, it's not like huge symptoms, but there are some definite things that are red flags for me when a patient actually says that. Then we actually check to see if there's actually some diabetes that is occurring.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. My child's always thirsty and tired, and it could be a simple symptom like that.
Yeah. I mean, children, that's one of the things that's very good. People have this impression that children are just automatically healthy because they're kids.
Right.
But the majority of the world, childhood death rate is always higher than it is for adults throughout the world. Children are actually under more stress, have a weaker immune system than adults do. There's a tremendous amount of growth, and children actually need yearly physicals also, with good blood tests to make sure, because if you can actually pick that up earlier, you can actually have some idea of keeping the child immune system up. So one, that they don't actually develop the type 1 diabetes. There are certain things that actually show up and also pick it up quickly. One of the problems in a lot of kids is that they have the undiagnosed type 1 diabetes for a long time, and then they have kidney damage, a lot of things that can actually occur that really wasn't necessary if it was picked up right away.
Right.
So making sure that your kids get checked up on a yearly basis, just like you were supposed to, is a very, very important type of thing to do.
Yeah, because that type 1, they call it juvenile diabetes. Is that because there's an earlier onset?
Earlier onset. Type 2 diabetes used to be only as an adult onset because we had terrible lifestyles. Type 2 diabetes is actually starting to now occur in children also.
Just because of their lifestyle.
Because they aren't active like they used to. They eat terrible. So type 2 diabetes is actually showing up in children now where it didn't used to.
I know they're hitting it hard with children, you know, obesity, but, you know, which causes, you know, this type 2 diabetes.
Sure, and, sure. Yeah. 10% of all diabetes is type 1.
10%, okay.
10% at this time.
Okay, all right. Well, what are the causes of diabetes?
Well, when we're talking about type 1, it is an autoimmune reaction, and it can be kicked off by, well, they're not completely sure why, but there seems to be some viral types of things. There also seems to be some food allergies that kick it off. Drinking lots of milk actually seems to be one of the precursors for type 1 diabetes. We're not quite sure why. Large amounts of milk seems to be one of the things that seems to be a kicking off type 1. At least there's a tendency along those lines.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk more about the causes of diabetes.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. What do you mean by the statement, Dr. Prather, hormones the key to unlocking weight loss?
It's a very common type of thing that people come in and they say, I've been doing everything right to lose the weight. You know, I don't know what else I can do. The hormones and the nervous system are the two things that tell the body what to do. The hormones have a very big regulatory type of effect on our weight. If the hormones say, no, you're not going to lose weight, you're not going to lose weight. Oftentimes, when we do some thorough evaluation, we find some issues and get that fixed, and it's amazing what happens.
What is your protocol for weight loss?
We do consult. We need to do a thorough consultation. We need to have a thorough examination. We need to have thorough lab tests. Then we need to put that together with the lifestyle of the patient. One of the first things that you have to do is you have to get those hormones balanced. And sometimes you have to cheat a little bit.
What does that mean?
Well, we have to sometimes fool the body. The body is stubborn, and it has a set weight limit. And I would actually put it as a picture of what you should look like. And oftentimes it's off. So we can use the hormones to fool the body to make a shift. One of the things that we offer is HCG shots, human chorionic gonadotropin, and that is involved with, he works on the hypothalamus to tell the body it's okay to burn fat and change the weight, what the fat percentage is. So instead of burning muscle, which you normally do when you go on a diet, which is why most diets don't work, because you stay, you become more fat because the fat percentage increases as you lose weight.
It's wasting muscle.
It's wasting muscle. This will burn up the fat and change the percentage of fat so that there is a true hormonal change. We can fool the body to change its set point because it can be pretty stubborn. We also keep very close records on the changes that are taking place. We measure the fat percentage. We make sure that people aren't just losing muscle. There are dietary, there are all sorts of strategies on diets, and we're very, very flexible in finding what diet works the very best. We make sure that they are healthy and able to follow it
and then incorporate a whole lifestyle and then make sure that it stays. Because the last thing we want is yo-yo dieting.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Our focus today is on managing diabetes naturally. And we've been talking, Dr. Prather, you've been talking about the different types. There's three types of diabetes, type 1, type 2, and gestational. Women are pregnant. And talking again, what is the percentage of Americans that have diabetes?
About 6.5%, according to the American Diabetic Association.
And that's any of these, all of
it's
these?
It's a combination of
okay.
all. Type 1 accounts for about 10%.
Okay.
Most of the rest of it is type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And, the type 1, I remember someone in college, when I went to college, having that type 1.
Mm-hmm.
And his doctor's telling him, as far as longevity, the effects that has on that. Has there been a change in that?
Yeah. At one point, type 1 diabetes was pretty much a death sentence.
Mm.
Actually, Eli Lilly became very, very famous for developing an insulin that was workable for humans.
Mm.
Actually put the Eli Lilly preparation
on the map.
Wow. So they were very well mm-hmm. known for that, the first real functional insulin. So
and that's helped longevity.
Made a huge difference on their lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
So very important type of discovery and very important for the longevity of those patients.
Now, we were talking before we went to break about causes of diabetes. You talked about some can be viral, autoimmune.
Yes, there does seem to be a connection between some of the viruses that actually can get into the system
mm-hmm.
and then actually kick off the autoimmune reaction in the body against the pancreas, which causes the loss of the production of insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the things that is very, very important along those lines. And then type 2 diabetes is definitely a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, really trying to work along those lines, keeping your weight under control,
mm-hmm.
very important. Nutritional factors has a huge effect on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise.
Right. So, we can take responsibility and...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm going to have type 2 diabetes the rest of my life.
It can definitely be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things is you really need to take control of that. Diet makes a huge, huge
when you're talking about diet, you stay away from sugars, right? Refined
Absolutely.
Sugar.
Mm-hmm. One, you want to have a low glycemic diet so mm-hmm. that you don't put...
What is that?
That is there's actually websites for that where you mm-hmm. can actually go through, and different foods have different ratings on the glycemic level.
Okay.
How much sugar they actually dump into the system.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher the amount of sugar that they dump in, the more stress it is on the system. If you can reduce the stress of the system, then that actually helps out quite a bit.
Okay.
There's also a strong correlation on the amount of fiber you take in.
Mm.
So if you actually take in lots more fiber into your system, then your sugar levels actually drop, which
okay.
is a very...
But that doesn't mean keep up with all that sugar.
Right. Well,
less sugar, more fiber.
A very interesting dietary types of charts that I've seen
uh-huh.
is when we were not too long ago, the amount of fiber that we took in was about equal to the amount of sugar we take in now, and the amount of sugar that we used to take in is about equal to the amount of fiber that we take in.
Oh, it just kind of switched it up. That's interesting.
Switched it up.
Wow.
So we used to get a tremendous amount of fiber into our diet and very little sugar. And now we get a lot of sugar and very little fiber just because of all the refining and the things that we add to foods. So if we can switch that back to the previous diet that we our great-grandparents had, we would have much less diabetes, and that would be very, very helpful. The other thing is that there's a very strong correlation between wheat and diabetes also, the amount of wheat that we actually eat. Wheat actually produces a, has gluten in it, which has something called gliadin. And gliadin was actually designed to be a toxin in the body. And that particular product seems to increase the amount of sugar that we actually absorb. So if we can actually reduce that down.
Are you saying stay away from wheat? Or
For a lot of people who actually, if someone actually has diabetes, I would probably stay away from wheat.
Wheat and you're talking about
any
milk
type
and
of
dairy.
The carbohydrates, that type of thing, really cutting that down. Now, yogurt, on the other hand, is a very low glycemic and actually does extremely well for diabetics.
Yogurt. Okay.
Yes. So it's a very interesting how the body actually works with things. And some of the things aren't, you know, it's kind of like, wow, I didn't know that that had a low glycemic index, whereas, you know, it was just the amount of the fermentation. If you have fermented milk as opposed to regular milk, it has a much less harsh effect on the system.
Ah, okay. So you said this glycemic index can be found
There are
on the
lots
internet.
And lots of websites on that, and it actually can rate foods on which ones are good for you, which ones aren't. And the higher the fiber content, the less sugar it is, the less glycemic index it has.
Okay.
So measuring that out, finding a good diet, keeping with that, you can still eat quite well. But as you reduce that, that can make a very, very big difference.
Is it as fun?
It is. It depends on how much effort you put into it.
Right.
But yes, it can be just as much fun. I've had several patients in here who just eliminated wheat out of their diet and saw that not only did they become non-diabetic as soon as they did that, but also they lost quite a bit of weight. So we've seen some very, very good results off of just changing around some of the dietary types of things. It can make a very, very big difference, increasing the fiber, really going for that, cutting down on the carbohydrates, going for a more low glycemic type of diet. Really, really can make a very, very big difference on how people do with this. And matter of fact, if you're taking your blood sugar on a regular basis, you can actually see, well, you know what? I saw that my glucose level went up, and I know exactly why.
Right. Yeah, you'll see that with the type 1.
Sure. And if you can actually go along that diet, then you have much less of a possibility of going into that possibility of the diabetic. One of the things that we do, we can actually pick up quite a bit on whether people are heading towards a pre-diabetic situation just
before
by looking at their
they
blood
are
tests.
Diagnosed with it.
Even before it's not, it's actually has become a diabetic situation.
Okay. And how do you do that?
There are changes within the system. Triglycerides start to get high. There are specific types of markers that actually start to show up that you are starting to get into a diabetic situation. And if you can control those, get those back under control, you can actually see a very big difference along those lines. So working with people, changing their diet makes a very big difference. The next biggest thing is exercise.
Yes. How important is exercise?
Exercise can
you
really cure
that.
A world of sins.
I was waiting for that.
And there are aerobic exercise is very beneficial on helping with the whole...
Keeping the heart rate up.
Heart rate up, you know. And then also weights have been shown to actually be very, very beneficial too.
Oh, body weights.
Body weights, you know, actually lifting, doing... aerobic exercise as well as anaerobic exercise is actually the best combination to get blood sugar under control.
Okay.
Matter of fact, many of the diabetics that we have, we've put them on an exercise program, And if they do their blood sugar immediately afterwards, they will find that it actually drops.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that exercise does is it actually opens up the, it actually changes the membranes mm-hmm. of the cells to actually accept glucose in. So it will actually change the physiology of the body so that you are actually utilizing your sugar levels, and that will actually help to keep that under control.
Interesting. I was just thinking of a young gal that played soccer with our daughter and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was in high school. But the different, you know, things that she was having. Can there be increased bruising and things like
that? Yes, that is definitely one of the things that can actually occur. More injuries, especially
right.
if you're an athlete.
Right, she was getting concussions.
Yeah. Sure. I'm sure that, it weakens the tendons. There's a tremendous amount of changes that actually occur. Damage to how the whole body works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to pick that up early to prevent that from becoming, you know, too great of a problem for a child.
Right. So you can do blood work and you see some of the markers.
To actually head along those ways, there are many things that actually go into diabetes. Not only is there the, there's a tremendous amount of fiber makes a big difference, but there's quite a few minerals and vitamins that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you become deficient or out of balance on your minerals, that can actually create a weakness in the system that can lead to diabetes.
Interesting.
So sometimes we add manganese, magnesium, zinc into the diet, and we see a tremendous change in the blood glucose levels.
Interesting.
It really can be dramatic.
When we come back, let's talk about how diabetes should be treated.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I have an annual physical recently. Doctors have this power. They can open up any door and just go, get undressed, I'll be right in. Don't you wish you had that power? And they make you get undressed and sit on a table with that white deli paper underneath you. That cheap deli paper. I usually bring a little pickle I sit next to me on the table there. Put some chips, move it around a little. I can make you sit in your underwear for like 20 minutes staring at a wall. And after like 15, 20 minutes, I start feeling better. I'm sitting, I gotta get out of here, I feel all right. Let me tell you something, before you go to the doctor, try this at home. Get in your underwear and sit on your dining room table for 20 minutes. And just put a napkin under you so you get the whole effect. Sit there. Family's walking by, I'll be okay in a few minutes.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Today, our topic is managing diabetes naturally. And Dr. Prather, you know, I thought something that you had shared that was really interesting was that, you know, how important fiber is and how that's, you know, our grandparents, the fiber was at a higher ratio than the sugar, the refined sugar. And now it's the complete opposite. Where we were with the amount of fiber we used to have in our diet, you know, is now where the sugar is very high and fiber is low.
Sure. If you actually compare that, it's an interesting amount. If you take and you combine the fiber and sugar into the old diet, it was 75% fiber, 25% sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 75% sugar, 25% fiber.
Yeah.
It's how much of a
I'm
shift
sure
has
they
occurred.
Had more of the raw sugar back then, and we're having this refined sugar.
Well, sugar wasn't, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is that they add sugar to everything. If it's processed, it's got sugar in it.
Is that just so it tastes better? Is there an addiction to it?
Just because it tastes better. And then there's also an addictive quality.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that you can actually raise the cells of your product is by adding sugar to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple, easy way to actually get it.
Sales, L-E-S. I thought you said cells.
Okay. But it
bad
does.
Cells.
They have found that adding sugar to a food product increases the amount that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a profit margin.
Mm-hmm. Is when some people go off sugar, is there a detox that goes on sometimes?
People can definitely be addicted to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
is a definite issue with that.
Yeah, I know. You know, if I'm hungry and I just crave it, I want to go to those carbs and the refined sugars and,
sure.
You know, they're there in the pantry.
Well, one of the things that occurs is as you become diabetic or your ability to regulate sugar starts to decrease, your cravings for sugar actually increase because you actually get low on your blood glucose.
Right.
Is one of the first things that occurs
mm-hmm.
because you're not regulating properly. So you have a cravings for sugar. And then the more sugar you have, the less ability you have to actually regulate it. And the more craving you have, less ability you have to regulate it. So it's mm-hmm. a vicious cycle that can become quite a self-destructive.
Is that what you're talking about when you say, you know, people have low blood sugar or they need to eat or...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They are into a hypoglycemic state, which can be very dangerous in itself too.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that the diabetics have a situation is that you can actually drop too low on your sugar or too high. It's the inability to actually regulate sugar is basically what diabetes is. Mm-hmm. And the hypoglycemia can actually get so low that you can die from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that they have to watch, you know, monitor it. And the if you start in on the whole situation, and even before it's pre-diabetic, your cravings for sugar increase if your ability to regulate sugar decreases.
It just doesn't seem fair. Now, is that where smaller meals throughout the day are helpful?
Smaller meals throughout the day can actually help to stabilize your sugar, put less stress on it. The less stress on the mechanisms of regulation, mm-hmm. the stronger it is. So if you can go through your life with very little stress on your glucose regulation mm-hmm. mechanisms, the healthier, the less likely you are of becoming diabetic.
Mm.
The more stress that you put on it, it's like wearing out, you know, if you stress out your automobile, it's more likely to break down.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually take care of it, keep it, you know, drive reasonably, keep good quality gas, keep it maintained, it's going to last a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with our body. You have a very complex mechanism that goes into regulating your blood glucose, which I won't go into because I'll put everybody to sleep.
Me included.
But it is a very complex mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many different ways that that can break down. And as it breaks down, then it becomes a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to keep that in homeostasis. And what we mean by homeostasis is everything is balanced in your body and working correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are actually healthy and you don't have these problems that start to occur.
Well, let's talk about different things that you use to help so people don't move toward type 2 diabetes. And do you treat type 1?
We do actually help people regulate. We have been able to work with people and actually cut down how much insulin they require.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Most of the people, actually, we can cut their insulin requirements by about 50%.
Mm, nice.
By just keeping up on some basic nutritional types of avenues, it can make a very big difference.
So what herbs
now,
can be... Oh, go ahead.
Right,
go ahead.
Now, type 2 diabetes okay. should be 100% be able to be corrected where you don't need a medicine.
As long as
if
the
are,
patient is
right,
decided.
If they are cooperative.
Yeah. Yeah, because... it'll take some work.
It takes some work
part.
On the individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about herbs and how they can be helpful for diabetes.
Yes, and that is, you know, not only do you need to do the things that we were talking about on the dietary types of areas, also along the lines of exercise, but you can actually take some concentrated foods that actually can make a very, very big difference on your system and on the diabetes. And herbs, I consider a food product.
Mm-hmm. So they're concentrated.
Yeah, the herbs can be something that is very, very healthy. And one of the things that we highly, highly recommend for everyone to do is to take a lot of herbs, those types of things into the diet, because they are low calorie but very high nutritional, and you can get a tremendous amount of benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Using it in your cooking,
one of the things that's a very nice herb, actually a spice is what we call it, that's very helpful for diabetes, is cinnamon.
Oh.
Cinnamon has been used for many centuries as a help for the blood sugar. Mm-hmm. So, and they find a lot of experimental studies where cinnamon has been extremely helpful. So adding cinnamon into your diet.
That's yummy.
And that's a yummy type of way of doing it. Can be extremely, extremely helpful. So that would be one thing. Garlic. Mm-hmm. Garlic and onions are very helpful along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things. Jerusalem artichokes.
Oh, yummy.
Which are very mm-hmm. good. It has been shown to be very helpful along those lines. Burdock root, dandelion root, ginkgo biloba, fenugreek is something
some
that we use a lot.
I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
Did you say fennel? No.
A fenugreek.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something that people don't. But it's interesting. In Great Grandma's day, mm-hmm. that was a very common type of thing to take for diabetes.
Well, I remember my grandma, we did dandelion roots all the time and greens.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. These were types of foods that they put in there. Cayenne pepper
mm-hmm.
actually has been shown to be very beneficial for diabetes. There is something called bitter melon that is extremely, extremely excellent results on experimental studies for diabetes, and something you can actually get in the grocery stores.
Bitter melon.
I've actually seen bitter melon in there, and if you cook mm-hmm. that up, and that's actually extremely helpful. I've had several patients who have taken that and found excellent results with their blood sugar.
And a lot of these you're talking about, you can get at the grocery store.
Some of these things you can get in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
These are herbs that can be encapsulated in teas and a lot of different ways of taking it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that most of our patients like to take these things are in pill form.
Mm-hmm.
We give it to them. It's a lot easier to do. They don't have to worry about it. And very, very good results along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Aloe vera is actually internally taking. That's very good for helping to regulate
the juice.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
In capsule forms, different types of things. And you have to be careful you don't take too much because you can get some diarrhea from it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are forms that don't have the diarrhea aspect in it, which we have here. Bilberry is also something that we carry in here that we use for diabetes. So there are actually quite a few different types of things along those lines. One thing that they found very good along those lines is prickle pear cactus.
Mm.
Is also another product.
Where do you get that?
I've actually seen that in the grocery store, too. And
okay.
We also can have that into a capsule form, too.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of different ways to actually get that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are, and quite frankly, we have over probably over 400 different products that are herbal-based for
diabetes,
for type 2 diabetes that have been shown to be very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not someone coming in is going to take all 400. We're able to know exactly which ones are, we have an instrument that helps narrow it down. Which ones will help them and put them in homeostasis, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what we do is we find the diagnostics from the lab tests, and mm-hmm. then we can actually find out which product will work the best through something called electrodermal screening, which measures the galvanic skin response before you actually take it to see what's going to respond on you the best.
Gotcha.
Very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to go on to vitamins?
I am ready to go on to vitamins.
What vitamins are important for diabetes?
Well, one of the things is that chromium and niacin are make up something called the glucose tolerance factor.
Mm.
And that is very important in that the glucose tolerance factor is the portion of our system that actually allows us to bring the glucose into the cells.
Okay.
So if we actually get low on niacin or if we get low on chromium, we have a problem of actually introducing the glucose into the cells. So there can be a nutritional deficiency along those lines that would actually keep us and actually develop the type 2 diabetes.
When we come back, let's talk more about vitamins that are helpful for diabetes and minerals also.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. The three tests, Dr. Prather, that you suggest everyone have every year, you know, to give a complete picture of health is the Prather Profile Blood Analysis, the GI Effects Stool Kit, and the hair analysis. And what does the hair analysis reveal about a person's health?
Well, one of the most important things that we're looking on a hair analysis is the possibility of heavy metal toxicity. That can cause a huge variety of diseases and symptoms that can actually occur. Any type of autoimmune disease could begin with a heavy metal toxicity or any type of neurological conditions, MS, ALS, a lot of those types of diseases can be kicked off by heavy metal toxicity, including a whole host of symptoms that would be hard to explain any other way. The other things that show up with the hair analysis is the balance of the minerals. It can play a huge effect on the entire system. Now, when plants actually grow, they can actually make the fatty acids, the vitamins, the amino acids, but the minerals have to come from the ground. So if the minerals aren't there, they can't make them. So the most common deficiencies that can occur in nutritional health of an individual is mineral deficiencies or mineral imbalances. And the hair analysis is the best way to actually show up those changes that can occur.
Well, how does the hair analysis help find the root cause of health issues? And no pun intended there.
When you're actually trying to discover what's going on in an individual, so many things can actually result with a mineral imbalance or a heavy metal toxicity that behooves us to actually do that particular test. And that's one reason that I recommend it be done at least once a year. And if there's any type of important type of disease process going on or unexplained symptoms, checking on the hair analysis really can show a tremendous amount and cause reveal the underlying problem.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling, yeah. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about managing diabetes naturally. And as always, I've learned a lot without you getting textbooky. Is that a word? Textbooky? Bookie's a word, but... All right, so you were talking about treatment, and we talked about herbs that help with diabetes, and we were talking about vitamins. And many of these things you carry here, correct?
Oh, everything, yeah.
And we talked about the importance of the diagnostic testing. Mm-hmm. And the prevention of type 2 diabetes. Let's talk more about the vitamins that are important.
Sure, we talked about niacin, how important that is, but mm-hmm. actually all of the B vitamins are extremely important whenever we're dealing with a diabetic situation. B6 is extremely critical, B12, inositol, thiamine, All those B vitamins have very special, specific types of reactions for a diabetic situation that can actually make the situation better. Mm-hmm. So looking at the B vitamins very carefully, making sure that they're all up to par, is an important part of any type of a diabetic situation. Vitamin C can play a big role. If you're low on vitamin C and you get that back up to par, then you can actually see a change in the sugar levels. Vitamin A and vitamin E and vitamin D can actually make an influence on those. Those are the fat-soluble vitamins, which we've talked about.
Yes.
Along those lines, you can actually get into the fats. Omega-3s are especially good for diabetics and seems to have a very important effect along those lines. So evaluating, seeing exactly which one of those are low, because it can vary from person to person, can make a very big difference. And that is one of the things that we can do here, is actually measure the levels of the vitamins and see which one is actually low or out of balance.
Right, because I think people could be overwhelmed. There's so much. But I think what we do well here is, because of the diagnostics,
right,
and because of our electrodermal screening, we can be very specific to that person.
And
know what
product,
what products are the best. Good. Anything more on vitamins? We're going to go on to minerals.
Minerals, very important. I'm ready to hit the minerals.
Okay.
And one of the ways is that we also test out the minerals. We have several different means of testing that. Blood, hair is a combination of those. We can actually find out exactly what's going on with the mineral contents of the body. And there is a very, very strong correlation between mineral deficiencies and diabetes. Matter of fact, we probably make quicker changes with the with the minerals than we do with any other means.
Oh, interesting.
Because there is a very critical relationship on that, and there are very specific types of things with each type of a mineral deficiency that starts to occur.
That can be any mineral deficiency or specific
any
ones.
Mineral deficiency. Okay. Well, there is very specific ones. Magnesium actually is probably where we get the greatest amount of change in people's blood sugar levels. So if they are deficient on magnesium and we add that into the system, then that can make a very quick change. Chromium, we already talked about that, how that was important for the glucose tolerance factor. Copper is also important. The copper and zinc ratio along those lines plays a very critical role along those lines. And then also manganese. And those have a very direct effect on the glucose tolerance factor, whereas the phosphorus and potassium has a very big effect on the insulin resistance. That's another factor that can actually go into the whole diabetic situation. So as we are analyzing someone, one of the things that I'm looking for is to, from the blood work and the diagnostics that we do, is trying to figure out exactly whether this is an insulin deficient diabetic, whether it's insulin resistance, or if it's a glucose tolerance factor that seems to be actually playing a role along those lines. And each one of them has different types of nutritional, herbal requirements that can make a big effect. Some exercise can actually be more helpful than other things. So actually looking at that, discovering what it is that's going on with the system, and then making those adjustments can have a huge effect on how the body actually works along those lines.
Interesting. And you find that out...
Through the lab tests.
Okay.
I always preach that. And then, of course, one of the things is we recheck those lab tests.
And which lab test should be done for diabetes?
For diabetes, we need a thorough blood test. We need to have hair analysis. And I also like to get stool.
Okay.
Those are all very important to see what's going on.
And in this, I know we talked about minerals and the blood work. What are you looking for in a stool sample?
Well, in the
you don't look for it. We send that out. Sorry.
Well, there are, if you are very low on the normal bacteria, which we actually can tell from the stool kit, then you're going to be automatically low on certain vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
That is just a given. If you have some infection in through there, if you are showing up that you have a lot of dysbiosis in through the gut.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know, in other words, the gut isn't working right. If
right.
there are deficiencies in the hydrochloric acid or the pancreatic enzymes, mm-hmm. Hydrochloric acid is absolutely critical in diabetes. Matter of fact, we've been able to turn that around and get that back up to par and actually see type 2 diabetes go away. So making sure that you have the proper digestive enzymes, which would show up in the stool kit.
And how can you check for that?
Stool kit.
Okay, the hydrochloric acid.
Right. You can actually get a very strong indication if things are going on by the type of tests that we do to actually see if there is a low hydrochloric acid levels or if there's low pancreatic enzyme levels.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is occurring, then as we can supplement that, we can actually see that in change in the stool kit. All of a sudden, a lot of the mineral deficiencies and vitamin deficiencies disappear because now you're able to process
the
foods.
Well, you always talk about, you know, your health is in your gut.
It's very, very critical along those lines, and you can get a tremendous amount of information off of that.
Well, let's talk about what you've seen here at your office with diabetes.
If people follow our program along those lines, usually most type 1 diabetics, you're not going to get rid of, you know, their needs for insulin.
Right.
But you can certainly increase it. And I would say that we have about
decrease
by about 50%,
mm-hmm.
which is very helpful and makes a big difference in their
longevity.
Why is
that helpful? I can guess, but.
Yeah, the insulin is actually hard on your system. You have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But the less that you take, the less damage that occurs to the organ systems.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. that insulin does actually cause damage in and of itself.
Right.
So, yes, you need it.
It's helpful, but it, yeah.
You don't, yeah, if you, the less
We're
that you have to take,
one.
The better off you are.
Mm-hmm.
Type 2 diabetes, you really, if you are an uncontrolled diabetic, is basically, then they put you on insulin. In other words.
What does that mean?
In other words, you're not. You're not willing to really work at it.
Mm-hmm. So I'll put you on insulin.
So I'm going to put you on insulin just to, make everything work for you,
mm-hmm.
even though it's better to be on the drug than it is to actually have the damage of the uncontrolled glucose levels.
Mm.
But that actually, the only time they do that is basically when they feel that the patient is uncooperative. Because if you can follow the diet, if you can do the exercise, also if you go along with the vitamins and minerals that you might need along those lines,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason that you can't control type 2 diabetes.
Right. You can conquer it.
You can conquer it.
Right. Yeah.
But it is a lifestyle change. It does require some work.
Mm-hmm. And I know when we talk to patients here that, you know, this type structure function medicine, they need to take responsibility, too, for their own health care. I was talking today at someone on the phone and, you know, just saying, well, you know, I have arthritis in my spine or this and that. And, you know, complaining about their health. And I said, well, you can take responsibility also for your health. You
sure.
know, there's things we're not under the, you know, whatever the doctor says. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes. There are, in other words, not looking for a pill to actually fix your problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have...
Or a diagnosis.
Well, in the last 5 years, the amount of pharmaceuticals that have actually been sold in the United States has increased 40%.
Mm.
There is a feeling here in America that, you know, we have instant gratification,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't take effort on our part to have health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not getting better, it's getting worse on the general attitude.
Mm.
The amount of people that were on pharmaceuticals, you know, a generation ago is just, you know, you didn't have, you had to be old and decrepit to be on pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. One of our employees had to take her husband to the emergency room, and he is not on any medication. And they couldn't believe it, you know. The ER doctor... Are you sure? I mean, he's in his 80s.
Right.
Nope. Just take vitamins and minerals that, you know, are prescribed here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And too bad his hearing's going. That's another show. But what other treatments can help with diabetes?
Well, one of the things that could surprise people is chiropractic.
Yeah, why is that?
Chiropractic, basically what you're doing is you're normalizing the nervous system. And it is an overall help for the body. The two things that we always say that you have to get balanced out to get everything else balanced is your nervous system and your hormones, because they tell everything else what to do. Mm-hmm. So if you can get the nervous system and the endocrine system, which produces the hormones, under control, then your general health and well-being actually increase. And we have seen definite changes on people in their glucose regulation, in their type 2 diabetes, with regular adjustments. Mm-hmm. So there is a very strong effect on that, and something that is not normally thought of by the average person or even the average doctor out there as something that could actually help in that situation. But it definitely does.
Interesting. How about acupuncture?
Acupuncture. There's actually a very definite program for acupuncture. And I've had patients who were not responding to the normal types of nutritional things that we were using. Mm-hmm. We threw acupuncture in there, and all of a sudden we saw a dramatic change. Mm. So as we can actually introduce that, get the energy of the body flowing correctly, then we can actually start to see some of the organ systems working, and we can start to see some of the healing process and start to see some of the changes that are necessary.
Very interesting. We're out of time, but thank you, Dr. Prather. Very good show.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.